Amen. All right, clap your hands, everybody. Come on, let's give the Lord some praise tonight. Come on, let's give the Lord some praise tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. Amen. Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. I appreciate and love Brother and Sister Copeland so much. I've known these people for how many years, Brother Copeland? 30 years? About 30? 25 there? Well, I've been a pastor 27 years. So I love these folks. Okay, all right. Well, close. Love them so much. Appreciate the family, the boys, and Brother Copeland has been a friend to me that sticketh closer than a brother. So I'm just glad to be here. I don't have anything new. I don't have anything clever or fancy. I'm just an old-time apostolic preacher. Amen. Amen. I don't know some of the things that I preached tonight you may have heard, but I promise you it'll be a remix. Amen. Be remix. I just want everybody to know that I love the Lord tonight so much. And I'll tell you what, God has certainly been better to me and my family, better than we could ever deserve. I think about it every single day, how good God has been to us. Amen. I have nothing but high praise and high accolades to God and his mercy and his goodness. Amen. 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 I'm glad I'm in church. And sometimes as a pastor, you see people walk away and turn, and I just never understood that. You will never ever be able to get anything better than knowing God. Amen. Well, we're going to get into the word of the Lord tonight. I promise you, I won't hold you a long time, but I do want to say what I feel like the Lord want me to say. And if you just ride with me, we'll get through this real quick. And hopefully, God will bless you. We're going to the book of Numbers, chapter number 13. The book of Numbers, 13. And I want to read a couple of verses out of the book of Deuteronomy as well. And I promise you, I will not hold you a long time. The book of Numbers, chapter 13, and verse number 26. If you got it, say amen. Amen. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. The cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, the Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the man that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Verse number 8, chapter 14. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land, give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. I want to underscore in your mind that when these spies came back from doing a reconnaissance in the land of Canaan, they had a whole plethora of reasons why they could not make it into the land. But I like what Joshua said. He didn't name a whole bunch of reasons why they could make it. He named one reason. He said, the Lord. Let me say this to somebody. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you've been through. We've all been through something. We've all had setbacks, heartaches, heartbreaks, disappointments. But the reason I'm standing here tonight, Brother Copeland, is because the Lord has been with me. It ain't because I'm smart. It's not because I'm good looking. Certainly it's not that. It's not because I'm rich and famous. It's not because of the size of my bank account or the friends that I run with. It's because I met Jesus in an old prayer room one more time. It's because I met Jesus in the church house one more time. Amen. So much of the time, people tell you why they cannot. Why they can't. I can't live for God. I can't serve the Lord. I can't do this. But let me tell you something, beloved. All you need is one reason. You don't need two. You don't need five. You don't need six. Joshua said, the Lord. The Bible said, if God be for us. Job said, if he gives quietness, who can make trouble? All right. I'm telling you, if God wants you to have quietness, ain't no devil big enough to make trouble for you. Amen. Yeah. 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 Amen. My title tonight is, it's just very simple. All the reasons why we cannot, but the one reason why we can. You don't need another one. People always want to talk about all the reasons why we can't. I want to tell you the one reason why we can't. Help me pray. Father, we love you tonight. God, we appreciate your great goodness and your mercy and your grace. I'm asking you, God, to anoint my lips to speak as your oracle tonight. We call on your name. We look to you. God, be our God tonight. Open our eyes and our understanding. Edify this great body tonight, Lord. We'll praise you in Jesus' name. You may be seated tonight. I used to think that when the children of Israel went in to do that reconnaissance mission into the land of Canaan, I used to think that it was God who sent them there. If you read the Bible, sometimes you got to read a little bit further. I used to think that it was God who was the one that set things up and God sent them. But upon further observation and study and reading the Bible a little bit more, I have come to believe that it wasn't God's idea, that it was their own idea. You say, Brother Hood, why would you make a statement like that? Because the book of Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse number 22, where Moses is rehearsing to the children of Israel all that God did and what they did, the Bible says in verse number 22, Moses says, "And ye came near unto me, every one of you, and said, we will send men before us, and they shall search us out the land and bring us word again by what way we must go up and into what cities we shall come. And the saying pleased me." Of course, this is Moses talking. "The saying pleased me well. And I took 12 men of you, one of a tribe. And they turned and went up into the mountain and came into the valley of Eshcol and searched it out. And they took of the fruit of the land of their hands and brought it down to us and brought us word again and said, it is a good land which the Lord our God doth give us. Notwithstanding, ye would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. And ye murmured." Let me stop right here. Let me say this quickly. One thing that God hates is people who murmur. Let me tell you something. It doesn't matter what we go through, we have nothing to complain about. I got the best end of the deal here, friend. Sometimes I don't even know how people even look at the things of God. They think that God has done them wrong. Let me tell you something, friend. Shall not the judge of the whole earth do right? God ain't been nothing but good to all of us. You have nothing to complain about. And so the Bible goes on to say, "And it brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us." And so the thing of it is that these people, all they had was a complaint. God had told Moses, God had told Abraham and Isaac and Jacob many years prior to this that he was going to give them the land of Canaan. God said that he was going to give them the land. Of course, they had to have faith. They had to believe God and trust the Lord and walk in by faith and take the land. The Bible says in several places, the Bible said God spoke to these people and told them, "Every place that you put the sole of your feet, that have I given you." Let me tell you something. It's one thing to claim the blessings of God in your life, but it's something altogether different to put your foot on them. Anybody can talk a good game. Anybody can talk about this, but can you put your feet on the blessings that God has given you? Can you truly stand on the promises of God that are yea and amen? Can you do that? And amen, I've read this, I've studied this, and I've looked at this, and I have preached from this text many times, and I've had to adjust the way I thought about it. Amen. You know what? It didn't matter who was in Canaan's land. God was going to give them the victory either way. God was going to defeat their enemies either way. It didn't matter if they were giants or midgets. God was going to do the work. Amen. Let me say this to you. When you really understand who's doing the work, your life and your walk with God and your relationship with God will go up by leaps and bounds. It's too many people that's trying to live for God in their own strength, in their own ability. They're trying to do and be what God wants them to be by their own power. You can't live for God like that. You've got to let God work in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. Amen. Listen, whether you like it or not, whether you agree with it or not, whether it fits your scheme or not, the Christian life is a life of Christ. Say what you want, think what you want, believe what you want. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. We have no hope. We have zero hope outside of God working in us. The Bible said, if God be for us, who can be against us? You may have some rough days. You may have some tough days. But if God is for you, he'll bring you through. Amen. Let me submit to you that it was never God's will. It was never God's will. Nor is it God's will today just to bring us out of sin. Now, don't get me wrong. Thank God. Thank God that God has delivered us from sin. I thank God that God has delivered me from all kinds of sin and iniquity. And I appreciate that, and I'm grateful for that. But God don't just want to bring us out of sin. He want to bring us, you and I, into a life of victory. Brother Copeland, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be ugly. I see so many Christians living defeated lives. I see so many people, they can live for God as long as everything is going all right. But as soon as a trial come, as soon as a test come, there are some of them almost ready to curse you out. You say, well, ain't nobody up in Buford like that. Amen. Amen. Yes, he did bring us out. But he brought us out to bring us in. He brought us out of Egypt, which was a type of sin and the world. But he didn't just bring us out. He wanted to take us into Canaan's land. Can I submit to you, Canaan's land is not heaven. It is the overcoming, victorious, overcoming life where you can walk with God, know him and the power of his resurrection. Come hell or high water, it don't matter what come your way. You're walking with God no matter what. It's not that we don't pray for each other, but when people truly learn how to live for God, you don't have to prop them up every service. Not saying we don't help each other. We do help each other. We do pray for each other. We do encourage each other. We do edify each other. But we shouldn't have to prop each other up every single service. Amen. And so the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, and verse number 23, Moses said he brought us out that he might bring us in. Let me tell you something. It's one thing to be brought out, but it's something altogether different to be brought in. Yeah. It's something altogether different to be brought into Canaan's land, where you become more than a conqueror. The Bible said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? You're going to have some tribulation some days. Or distress? You're going to have some distress. Or persecution? Or peril? Or sword? And the great apostle said, nay, in all of these things, we're not just conquerors, we are more. I don't know what kind of Christianity some people got. They get a headache, they can't live for God. They get a headache, they can't come to church. Well, Brother Copeland, I would have came, but I got a headache. I tell you what, keep on living, you're going to get some more aches. Just some things come with time, beloved. But nothing can separate us from the love of God. We are more. We are more. Oh, I love that verse. We're not just conquerors. We are more than conquerors through him. Everybody say through him. And therein lies the problem. Sometimes we don't let him have his way. Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes we don't let him have his way. Sometimes we don't surrender to him. Sometimes we don't yield to him. Sometimes we yield and surrender to that other fella. If you got a half of a bad attitude, it ain't him, it's the other fella. up in your spirit, rebellion, anger, malice, hatred, whatever. All that stuff is of the flesh. And the Bible said the flesh profiteth nothing. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. And so he brought us out to bring us in. Again, let me say again that Canaan's land is not heaven. Because in Canaan's land, they had to fight. And we are encouraged by the Apostle Paul to fight the good fight of faith, to lay hold on eternal life. The fight that you and I have is not with each other. It is a fight of faith. It is to believe God in the face of everything. It's to stand on God's word, his promises, in the face of everything the devil throws up. If you want your healing tonight, you can get your healing tonight. But you may have to stand on the word of God in the face of everything. Huh? The Bible said that with God, nothing shall be impossible. Amen. The Bible allows us to know in the book of Hebrews 13 and 8 that Jesus Christ is the same. Can I tell you, this may be the 21st century, but God hadn't changed one iota. If God healed yesterday, he can heal tonight. You say, oh, Brother Hood, there you go. Well, I believe that. If God gave somebody the Holy Ghost in the first century, he can give people the Holy Ghost tonight. If God gave the victory back in Bible days, he can give you the victory tonight. You don't have to live a defeated life. You don't have to let the devil run all over you. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. He brought us out. He brought us out. He brought us out that he might bring us in. It's one thing to be brought out, but are you where you need to be in Christ? Are you where you really need to be? Or does it take some little small thing to get you to get an attitude to flare up? For you to hold a grudge, to get angry. Amen. And so Christianity, you can say what you want to. It's a life surrendered to Christ. In fact, the Bible says in the book of Colossians 1:27, it's Christ in us, which is the hope of glory. Christ in us. It's Christ. Christianity is Christ. It ain't you, it's him. Sometimes, Brother Copeland, people wonder why the Apostle Paul was so greatly, magnificently used of the Lord. Because the Apostle Paul was the one who made the statement, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Then he said, yet not I. You know what's wrong with a lot of people? They got eye trouble. Huh? And I ain't talking about going and seeing no optometrist. I'm talking about myself. If you look in the book of Romans chapter 7, the Apostle Paul, when he was writing the book of Romans chapter 7, I've read commentator after commentator. And a lot of them say that Paul wasn't saved. Paul was saved in the book of Romans chapter 7. But he made the statement. He said, for that which I do, I allow not. What I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. You know why he couldn't do it? Because he was trying to do it in his own strength instead of allowing God to work in him. Then he said, if then I do that which I would not, I consent to the law that it is good. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me or in I. You want sin to come up? Try to live for God in your own strength. Try to be what you need to be in your own power. It's an absolute impossibility, and I dare anybody to. You can't do it. Amen. You know what the problem is in some of our churches? And I'm not here to straighten out anybody's church. It's just that we have too much flesh running rampant in our churches. Sometimes people want to argue with the pastor, fuss with the man of God, question what he's doing. That blows my mind to no end. Listen, people, I came from the streets. I would never have argued with my pastor. I would never question his authority. I must have hit a nerve, Brother Copeland. I did not ever argue with my pastor. I never questioned his authority. I never questioned his motives. Blows my mind. People want to question the motives of the pastor when they got to put up with a bunch of people that, oh, well, I almost thought I was at home for a minute there. Y'all forgive me. You may be seated. Amen. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Lord, I love you tonight. Some people, all they got is all the reasons why they can't. I get so tired of hearing all the reasons why we can't. Right? Yeah. We can't. I can't come to church. I got this. I got that. I can't do this. I can't live for God. I can't walk with the Lord. I can't this. I can't. All these excuses of why they can't. And this is exactly what happened to the children of Israel. Amen. God had brought them out of Egypt. God had done a great work. And of course, the Bible lets us know in the book of Philippians, chapter 1 and verse number 6, that he who hath began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ. Let me say you something. God don't start something he don't finish. If God has started a work in you, he will finish that work if you let him. If you get out of his way and let him work in you. And so the children of Israel, God had brought them out of Egypt. They had been in bondage for 430 years. And God brought them out. And God did great things when he brought them out of Egypt. I want to turn your attention real quick to the book of Exodus, chapter 15. I promise you I won't be there long. The Bible says in Exodus, chapter 15, this is when God brought them out of Egyptian bondage. This is when God had destroyed Pharaoh and the Egyptians and his chariots. The Bible says in verse number 1 of Exodus 15, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he, who? See, they know who did the work. Here's my question to all of us. Do you know who did the work in your life? Do you know who is continuing to do the work? Or have you got smart enough to do it yourself now? Or you got a little, you done took a few college classes, now you know how to live for God. Your college can't help you in this. Nothing wrong with college, nothing wrong with a good education, but your education can't help you walk with God. And so they make this statement. They said, he hath triumphed gloriously. He hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. They knew who did the work. I think that sometimes people forget who brought them to where they are today. And be careful lest you fall into that lie that you pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. None of us did that. We are what we are by the grace of God. Bible says in verse number 3, the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Verse 4, Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also drown in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. They knew who did the work. They knew who did the work. But then when it came to coming into Canaan's land, all of a sudden, they forget who's supposed to do the work. Oh, yeah, they had to have faith. They had to participate, and we all have to. We all have to believe God. We all have to take a step of faith. But God is the one that's doing the work. The battle don't belong to us. The battle belongs to the Lord. And the sooner some of us learn that, the better off we'll be. This is not my fight, it's God's fight. And I'm going to let him fight, and I'm going to let him do his work in me, and I'm going to let him work out his will in my life. No matter what happens, if things don't go the way I want them to go, I'm still going to let God work in my life. The Bible says in verse number 8 of Exodus 15, and with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as a heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. And that's just the blast of his nostrils. He ain't even rolled his sleeve up yet. That's just... Now, when he rolled his sleeve up, somebody's in a whole heap of trouble. Huh? He's a man of war. David told that 9-foot giant, you come to me with sword and spear, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There ain't nobody else. John the Baptist's disciples, they came and they found Jesus. John was in jail, had been thrown in prison, and he sent his disciples, and they came to Jesus and they asked the question, Brother Copeland. They said, are you he that should come, or should we look for another? I want to tell somebody, we don't need another hero. We got the main one. We got the main thing. We don't need nobody else. We got Jesus. He's enough. He's the right man for the job. And I dare say sometimes people get in trouble when they look for somebody beside Jesus. When they look for some answer beside Jesus, they ain't no other answer. Amen. Jesus is enough. He has everything we need. We don't need nothing but Jesus. Tell you, you get in trouble when you start looking for a whole bunch of other mess. That's how folks get in trouble. When they want to go beyond Jesus. Huh? You can't go beyond Jesus, friend. Amen. Let me move on here. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with thy wind, and the sea covered them. I stretched out thy right hand. Verse number 17, this is what the children of Israel said. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain, thine inheritance, O Lord, which thou hast made. They said that you're not just going to bring us out, but you're going to bring us in. Oh, it's easy to say that when you're not in a trial. It's easy to talk about God until the pressure come on. And you know, everything they everything they were saying was right and good and proper. God was going to do everything he said he was going to do. Amen. But they had to go into Canaan's land. And again, God had promised this many, many years prior to this. He gave the promise to Abraham, renewed it in Isaac, and gave it again in Jacob. Amen. God ain't going to change his mind about what he said he was going to do. Amen. And so they got over here where the rubber was meeting the road. And it was time to make that move. And they wanted to send up some spies to do a reconnaissance mission. Amen. They came back and said, yeah, it's pretty good land. It is a land that floweth with milk and honey. This is the fruit. The grapes were so big, it took two men to bring the grapes back on a pole. And that's some pretty good grapes right there. Have mercy. I've seen some big grapes, but Lord Jesus. Amen. The Bible said that they went and came to Moses and Aaron, to all the congregation, the children of Israel, unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him, said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us. Yeah, it do flow up with milk and honey. And this is the fruit. Nevertheless. It's always that nevertheless. Brother Copeland, I've had people tell me, Brother Hood, this, this, and this. But. No, there ain't no buts. You need to get rid of your buts. Nevertheless. The people. You know why some people can't live for God? It's always other people. My mother, my sister, my brother, my cousin. None of those people can stop you from living for God if you got your mind made up. Amen. I got in church 36 years ago. My family fought me tooth and nail. Brother Copeland, you know how many services I missed over my family? Zilch. Zero. Goose eggs. None. Don't you let nobody stop you. The people. My stepmom, my stepdad, my cousin. If you got your mind made up, they can't stop you. You may be seated. They said, the people, be strong that dwell in the land. And then they said, the cities. Now, if it wasn't the people, now it's the cities. They began to enumerate all the reasons why they couldn't. You ever seen people like that? They tell you all, they never even mention God, but tell you all the reasons why they can't come to church, live for God, do what they're supposed to do. And they won't even frame God's name on their lips. I mean, they can wax eloquent when it comes to making excuses about a whole bunch of other stuff that don't amount to a hill of beans. The people. The people. My family. They don't understand. Who cares whether or not they understand? Are you going to hell for your family? I'm sorry to say this. I've seen more people lose out with God, Brother Colton, because of their family than anything else. But I got news for you. When you stand before God, you're not going to be going hand in hand with your family. You're going to stand before God by yourself. I know some of us don't like that, but it's a fact. You don't let nothing, nobody, no way stop you. It ain't worth it to lose out with God based on trying to please mama. I have seen young people, their family, their whole family didn't live for God and was almost attacking them. But I've seen these same young people make their mind up no matter what their family said, they were going to live for God, and they stayed true to God, and they are true to God this day. Amen. Again, they begin to tell all the reasons why they couldn't make it into Canaan's land. The people, be strong that dwell in the land. And the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. And if that ain't enough, the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. You see all these reasons why they can't do it? You ever heard anybody talk like this and got this problem and that situation and I got this and got that? You just don't love Jesus. Just tell it like it is. You just don't love the Lord. Jesus said, if you love mother, father, sister, brother more than me, you're not worthy of me. You can't love nobody more than you love Jesus. You can't love your children more than you love Jesus. I know some of us don't like that, but it's still in the Bible. Amen. In fact, in one verse he said it, unless you hate them. In other words, your love for him has got to be so much higher and so much more supreme. And it's like you hate everybody else. You love Jesus and he doesn't take a back seat to nobody. Boy, some of y'all sure is quiet. Must have been a while since y'all heard a crazy preacher like this, huh? I know Brother Copeland is polished and all this good stuff, and he's just a nice guy. You don't know Brother Copeland like I know him, no. You know what I'm talking about? I'm just teasing with you. Amen. Amen. He said, we saw the children of Anak, the Amalekites. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains. You know what? They had all the bases covered. But God still didn't accept it. And he won't accept your excuse. It talked about the folks in the mountains, the people in the valley. It talked about the giants, the sons of Anak. They act like Moses, act like Joshua and Moses are going to say, well, okay, don't worry about going in. No, you still got to go in. You mean to tell me you got all that trouble? Oh, don't worry about it. It's going to be all right. No, baby girl. You still got to go. It's still time to fight. Huh? We ain't letting up. We ain't shutting up. We ain't letting down. We're going in. We got what it takes to get in. And all it takes is our God. We don't need another. We don't need Zeus. We don't need Thor. We don't need Hercules. All we need is Jesus. That's all we need. Amen. Amen. The Hittites, Jebusites, Amorites, the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And the Bible said, and Caleb steeled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once. And in today's vernacular, he said, Brother Copeland, let's go now. Let's do this. Let's go. We don't need to wait another minute. Isn't it amazing that the way he thought was so totally different than the way everybody else thought? I've seen people in church, they didn't think like everybody else. They was gung-ho to do whatever we needed to do. And there's always going to be those people that say, we can't do it. I don't know what's wrong with brotherhood. Come on, we can't do this. We can't teach Bible studies and knock doors. We're in the city of Atlanta. Then you got people that say, let's do it. Let's go. Caleb said, let us go up at once. He said, for we are well able. We're not just able, we're well able. We can do it. God's on our side. That's all we need. Don't care about no Hittites, Jebusites and Amorites and Canaanites. Don't care about setbacks and problems and heartache. We can still do it. Roadblocks, tribulations, problems, health problems, disappointments, we can still do it. Yeah, man. He said, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. It blows my mind sometimes. God has done so much for people, and they totally forget who did the work in their lives. These people totally forgot what happened in Egypt. They forgot what God did. They forgot that Pharaoh and all of his chariots were laying on the seashore dead, dead meat. And they forgot. It blows my mind. Sometimes people get in church and God deliver them from drinking and smoking and cigarettes and a crazy lifestyle. And then they want to get huffy with me. You got the wrong one, friend. Don't you ever forget where God brought you from. Brother Copeland, I've seen people come in the church and God save them and deliver them from all kinds of mess. And they be in church for a few years and they didn't want to tell you how to run the service. Well, you don't tell me how to run the service. Because we were the ones who prayed you through when you thought about committing suicide. Now you know more than the pastor know. Now why is Brother Copeland doing this? Why is Brother Copeland, I don't understand why. Who said you had to understand? Who said it was your job to understand? Just stay in your place. We ain't forgot what you were like when you came in. You was the devil in shoe leather. Now you want to tell us how to have church? We were doing this years before you got here. Now you sit back as an armchair quarterback and say, well, they ought to do this. You ought to shut your mouth up. Yeah, I did say that. If Brother Hood would do this. Your brotherhood would do that. If y'all could get you to teach one Bible study, maybe we can do something. It's an amazing thing to me. The people sometimes who talk the most is doing the less. If they would do this. Now, if you would get up off your seat. Oh, some of y'all ain't liking this. Hang around church for a few years. Now you see the light. You don't only see the light for yourself. You see the light for everybody. No, that ain't light, that's darkness. Amen. Praise the Lord, you may be seated, I'm just about done. The Bible said, verse number 32, the book of Numbers 13, they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, the land through which we have gone to search into the land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw. They wasn't going by faith no more, they were walking by sight. And when you live for God, you cannot walk by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. The just shall live by faith. My soul shall have no pleasure in them that draw back from faith. You can't always go by what you see. Because things are not always as they appear. Is that right? Amen. And so they said that we saw the giants. the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. Amen. The Bible goes on to say in verse number 6 of chapter number 14, and Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes, and they spake unto the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, he, everybody say he, will bring us into this land and giveth us a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel ye not against the Lord, neither ye fear the people of the land, for they are bread. Know the best thing you can do with bread is to put some butter on it. Joshua said, they are bread. We're getting ready to eat these chumps. Slap up. You hear me? We're getting ready to do a number on these dudes. Let's go. There's always going to be those folks in the church and say, we can't do that, Brother Copeland. You're dreaming way too big. You're talking about this, this, and this, and that. And Brother Copeland, you're dreaming way too big. You're talking about getting all that money. We can't even get all that money. We sure ain't going to get it. We depend on you. Oh, some of y'all don't like the way I do you? It's all right. It'll be a while since before I come back. You're talking about building this and doing this and getting all this money, Brother Copeland. I appreciate it, but that's impossible. Thank God, Brother Copeland, and a man who listened to folks and just say, well, you know what, you're right. That's why pastors and ministers can't be wimps. Sissies. Glorified sissies. I'm sorry, y'all think I'm... I'm going to close, but I want to know something. How is it that Joshua and Caleb knew what the other 10 spies didn't know? Because this is what they said: if the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us in the land. Why come the other ones didn't know that? Because it was a fact. Isn't it amazing how you can preach things to people? And Brother Copeland, I have messages that I have preached, I got from God. And it's like it went straight over people's head. You know why? Because they've already settled things in their heart. And God himself can't change the way they think. It's a bad day when God can't change the way you think. So let me say this right here in closing. Instead of you highlighting and underscoring all the reasons why you can't, think about the one reason why you can. If the Lord delight in us, then he, we don't need nobody else, he will bring us into the land. Let's stand and clap our hands to Jesus.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, do you agree with this tonight? Do you believe it tonight? Hallelujah, hallelujah, in the name of the Lord. We need some people to step forward and claim this. Hallelujah, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We need to grab hold of this tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you for your word tonight, God. It's the truth tonight, Lord. Oh, in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord. How many believes the promises of the Lord tonight? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Tell the devil what you think about it. We're going to live for God. We're going to believe and follow the precepts. Hallelujah. Victory is ours in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord. This would be a good night for somebody to pray back through to the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You can pray through tonight. You can get what you need tonight. Hallelujah. Shake off all that unbelief. Hallelujah. Shake it off in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord. In the name.
All the way. I'm going all.